I am so thankful that Mark had all of us sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. I began serving at the OPC in Franklin Square in 1981, and we began an annual Bible conference that we had for many, many years. Our first speaker in 1981 was Dr. Cornelius Van Til. One of Margaret's and my great honors is to have known him and had him in our home and called him Uncle Case and so on. And so when we asked him what he wanted us to sing at the Bible conference, he said, "You must sing Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. It's my favorite hymn." So Dr. Van Til is, for those of you, most of you didn't know him, Dr. Van Til, as brilliant as he was, he was a scholar, but he was always a child in his father's kingdom, and it always came through as you got to know him. A couple of things before we pray. I apologize that I don't join you for your prayer time at, 7:15. Believe me, I love every time of prayer in church life. I take seriously that the prayers are among the means of grace. But believe me, both Margaret and I are up in the very wee hours of the morning. I don't want to give you cold bread, folks. The bread of what you've got while it's in outline form. I take time in the morning to go over it, mark it, pray it in, think about it, so that when it's delivered to you, it is a hot bread from the oven. And this is intense material. I realize that. And I don't in any way want to deliver it in a way that doesn't cost me something. So my apologies that we're getting ready for things here during your prayer time. But God willing, I can join you for that Friday morning. Second thing is this, that much as I love the time with the adults here, and I do, one of the things I have cherished in the times I've been here in the past is on one evening during the conference, just getting some time with the young people. Young people can have any age to begin. Usually it's high school years, college years, and career people as well. And we're going to do that tonight. When the session's done, we'll take a little break. But I'd love the young people to stay, and there'll be microphones at the back. I'd just love to have them ask questions. They don't get a lot of time with a pastor, and I'm hoping that this will be a time that they can know the speaker, not as somebody who's just up here, but as somebody who addresses their questions. And every time I've done this, I've come away probably learning a whole lot more from the young people than I've taught them. So we'll do that this evening. Let's pray. Our Lord, we pray that you would open our imaginations today. We are not listening to lectures. We're hearing really what is the greatest of all stories, because especially this morning, it's about the conquest of man's soul by Emmanuel. And so, our Lord, we pray that you would open up our minds, our imaginations, our hearts, our wills, transform us as your word is presented in a little different form. And we pray, our Lord, one of the words, we don't say hallelujah a lot in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, but probably we should. And we will be saying that this morning. So bless all of the classes, all of the teachers, and our time here. We pray these things through Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. Amen. Last night was a very, very bleak picture. And brothers and sisters, we need to get real. That bleak picture is a picture of our culture. Don't get too far away from reading Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 and following, after Paul emphasizes that the gospel is God's power unto salvation to all those who believe, to the Jew first and also the Greek. He begins, without missing a beat, by saying the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. No one does not know God. And in that extended section to the end of the chapter in Romans 1, you really have a sonogram of the soul, you have an MRI of our culture, And that's the kind of thing that we were dealing with last night, and we need to be reminded of that and get real. But as I mentioned last night, probably the most powerful words in the Scriptures, but God. And here again, you've got two teachers in this. You've got me and Dr. Robert McGuire. I'll be quoting from him extensively because he can say these things far better than I can. But as we prepare for this morning session on the conquest of man's soul, hear Dr. McGuire. Throughout the dark picture of the past, there has appeared but one solitary gleam of hope, namely that Shaddai had heard of the revolt and had determined on his own course of counteraction as embodied in the covenant of his son. And yet, before long, even this hope is shaded and darkened by the extraordinary efforts of Satan, building additional strongholds and making the town stronger and stronger for his own possession. The covenant of Jesus alarms Diabolos. He accordingly garrisons the soul for himself and makes it secure as a prey to his teeth. And now it would seem as though all light and hope had utterly fled. Understanding is darkened and imprisoned. The conscience is debauched and depraved. The will is perverted and enslaved. The whole man is degraded and in his degradation is armed against the king. And yet, at this point, the story turns again, and light once more appears. Heaven has not forgotten its promise. Emmanuel has not been unmindful of his covenant, and now it may be said, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Exodus 15 and verse 3. So while Satan has been preparing for resistance, God has been preparing for the assault. And now the preparations are well nigh completed. And yet, Jesus does not come in his own person, but as it were through his representatives, his chosen representatives and messengers. And here's where we begin. Shaddai, Emmanuel, his son, is the commander of the forces. And so Shaddai sends four captains through Emmanuel. And these are ministers of God's word and God's will. And to get this, you have to realize that the first assault on man's soul by Emmanuel is by the law. Remember in preaching, there are, and Bunyan knew this well because he was a pastor and as a preacher, preaching that the Holy Spirit uses brings conviction. It does declare a judgment to come, and it also declares the need for execution. Don't miss that note throughout the week. Spirit's work, conviction and judgment and execution. And so, there are four captains that Emmanuel sends as his representatives of law. Number one is Captain Boanerges. Captain Boanerges, which means thunder. And the banner of Captain Boanerges, Mr. Thunder, has black color. Mr. Boanerges comes to man's soul with words of warning, reproving, and rebuking, and exhorting, telling them, because we know the terror of the Lord, we persuade others. And telling man's soul with thunder, with his black-colored flag, on account of these things that you have done, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience, the ministry of Captain Boanerges. The second captain that is sent by Emmanuel is Captain Conviction. His banner is the banner Mr. Sorrow, and it is a pale color. He is the one who opens up many of the specifics of the book of law. And from it, because if you don't keep the law at every single point, you've broken all of it. As Captain Conviction opens the book of the law, there is to be dread and a sense of misery and grief and even hopelessness. And Captain Boenerges and Captain Conviction are followed by Captain Judgment, whose banner is Mr. Terror. It is a red-colored banner. He comes to see the soul convicted and trembling. And if Captain Judgment is listened to, those who hear him will condemn themselves, because knowing that they have offended God, knowing within that they have offended him, they would indict themselves under the work of Captain Judgment. And the fourth of the captains sent by Emmanuel is Execution, whose banner is Mr. Justice. And the banner is the color of blood. The message of Captain Execution is to the city, to the town, fruitless trees you are. The axe of Shaddai's judgment is lying at the root. They march to man's soul with these messages. And Diabolos is angry and jealous. Diabolos, the devil, is going to defend his man's soul. As the four captains make their way to the city, the trumpets of Emmanuel begin to blow. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Three times, and there is no response. So the captains, as one voice, address man's soul. And it's very interesting. Bunyan makes clear in Holy War that Diabolos is not addressed. Both law, and especially the free offer of the gospel, don't go to Diabolos and his henchmen, but they do go with love, and you'll find out how that's depicted. They go with love to man's soul and not to Diabolos, because Shaddai loves man's soul. There's now a dialogue. Diabolos makes his way from the castle to the walls. And the captains speak into ear gate. We desire an audience with Lord Mayor Understanding. Diabolos responds, what is the reason for this noisy ado? And then the captains respond individually. Boenerges, Thunder, responds, we come with a message of pardon and peace or war. Captain Conviction speaks, we have come to strive with the heart of man's soul. Captain Judgment speaks, if there is no repentance, there will be destruction for treason and for rebellion. And Execution speaks, the axe is laid at your root. Will you turn, or shall I strike? From man's soul, the response comes, led by Mr. Incredulity, popularly Mr. Unbelief, but Mr. Incredulity, who is wielding the shield of unbelief. Man's soul, led by Mr. Incredulity, scorns the message and the messengers, and he defies the captains. And quite frankly, he resents the interference, the way people respond when you tell them of the law of a holy God. They turn away from Eargate, led by Mr. Incredulity, who hopes nothing, believes nothing, and fears nothing. And he is followed obediently by Lord Will Be Will, who seconds the speech and follows. Mr. Recorder follows Lord Will Be Will. Remember, Recorder is the conscience. But he's under the influence of Diabolos. And Diabolos' assistant to Mr. Conscience is an odious man named Forget Good. And he has nicknames as Forget Good, Unconcern, and Apathy are his nicknames. Sound like things in our culture, folks. Conscience receives the pills every hour to dull him and make him sleepy. So Conscience goes to his room, and he puts up a do not disturb sign, and he tries to sleep. That's a picture of the world under the ministry of law. Then comes the assault by Emmanuel's representatives on Eargate. And their call is, you must be born again. And there is resistance that comes. Resistance led by, get these names, resistance led by these captains, High Mind and Heady and Carnal Mind. Bunyan knew his Bible. When the Bible speaks of the carnal mind, the Apostle Paul says the carnal mind literally is at war with God. And Mr. Carnal Mind and Mr. Heady and Mr. High Mind lead the resistance, but they've got assistance in man's soul. Remember, Diabolos has done his work. And the assistance that the captains have is led by three traders, not T-R-A-D-E-R-S, like Wall Street traders, but T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S, like those who are disloyal traders. The three traders, number one, that Diabolos has under his control, number one, Mr. Tradition. Mr. Tradition resists Emmanuel, because Mr. Tradition's banner is you make void the word of God by your tradition. The second traitor, Mr. Human Wisdom that does seem so wise with the world, but is in fact foolishness with God. And the third traitor, Mr. Man's Invention. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. God made man upright. God made man's soul upright, but he has sought out many inventions or many devices. Mr. Human Man's Invention, of which there's so many Don't you see how in Mr. Tradition and Mr. Human Wisdom and Mr. Man's Invention, all the things you see today that pump out errors in both doctrine and in life, and they are the emissaries of Diabolos in man's soul. Also, this is so relevant today. Captain anything. Captain anything is one of the allies of Diabolos in the resistance to Emmanuel. Captain anything. If Bunyan were living today, he'd be called Captain whatever. He would be called Captain Indifferent. Captain Anything will tell you, well, I don't follow Emmanuel, but I'm spiritual. And that is Captain Anything. And the battle intensifies. There's a declaration of peace and pardon and mercy, or there will be judgment. And within man's soul, within the soul of a person outside of Christ, despite the rebellion, there's an internal battle in man's soul. You see, the citizens know that these things are true. Knowing God, people don't glorify him as God, but they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And in that suppression, in pushing down like a pressure cooker, the pressure of these things they know to be true because they're made in God's image and the works of the law are written on their hearts. And the conscience is dulled but not dead. They know these things are true. And conscience is really having a hard time sleeping, despite the pills. Conscience is bothered. Understanding is in turmoil because deep down in darkened understanding's recesses, understanding knows these things are true. And as far as Lord Will Be Will goes, he just wants peace, just wants to be left alone. Isaiah says that the wicked are like the tossing sea, and they cannot be quiet. So the assault by Emmanuel continues, and there's damage to Diabolos' armies, damage that the law work does. Rashness, Mr. Rashness in man's soul is wounded. Mr. Prejudice is challenged. Mr. Indifference is roughed up. And Lord Will Be Will really is in some doubt as his understanding and conscience. So, as rashness and prejudice and indifference, who had previously been let loose in man's soul, have experienced some of the ravages of this war, Diabolos, who is one who enslaves people, imprisons them and gives guards to wounded rashness and challenged prejudice and roughed up indifference, the guards of darkness, the guards of debauchery, and the guards of deception. The captains and the armies of Emmanuel finally retrench. They do keep the town in alarm. Mansoul is alarmed. But Mansoul isn't awakened. Mansoul certainly is not delivered. And these armies of law realize what we all need to learn, especially ministers. There is something called law work, in which as you open up what God's law demands. You tell people graciously but firmly, these things are the requirements of a holy God. And of course, you begin with the Ten Commandments. You develop them, especially as our catechisms do. And to use the words of the Puritan pastor Richard Baxter, you screw into the conscience the absolute demands, the absolute holy demands of a holy God. Demands which, if they're not met in some way, they're demands that will turn to damnation, law work. But law work does not save people. Only the gospel does. And the only way that we can get Emmanuel to do gospel work is by looking to him and praying to him. Will not the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And what's the Holy Spirit's ministry? Its ministry is not to draw attention to himself, but his ministry is to put a searchlight on Christ. And God knows we need it in our culture to put the searchlight on Jesus Christ. And so the armies of law, the armies of Shaddai that have been sent out under Emmanuel's regimen, they petition Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you must come, or there is no hope for man's soul. Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, the embodiment of the gospel, now Jesus comes with his army of 10,000, and Emmanuel has his five brave captains, who in this case are not heralds of law, but heralds of good news. So keep writing down. I said there's loads of names. The leader against, remember, Mr. Incredulity. Mr. Incredulity is calling the shots under Diabolos and Mansoul. And so the leader sent by Emmanuel is Captain Credence to believe. Captain Credence, whose banner is faith against all incredulity and unbelief. The second captain with Emmanuel is Captain Good Hope. Captain Good Hope comes with an anchor for the soul of man's soul. The third is Captain Charity, whose banner is holy love. The fourth is Captain Innocent II. Remember, first Innocence is killed following the fall, but another Innocent is raised up. An Innocence theme, harmless as a dove. And then number five, Captain Patience, which is the spirit of Emmanuel. Now, the old King James has it right. Long suffering. Endurance is with things. Long suffering is with people. Do you realize, were it not for the long suffering of God, you would be in hell? Count the long suffering of God to be salvation. When Jonathan Edwards preached, your wickedness makes you, as it were, heavy as lead, and to tend downward with great weight and pressure toward hell. And if God should let you go, you would immediately sink and swiftly descend into the bottomless gulf, and there would be no invention, no help, no contrivance that would be able to save you from this God-ordained punishment. But long suffering, the fifth captain, patience, long suffering, the spirit of Emmanuel, and these things, faith, hope, love, innocence, long-suffering are the things that accompany salvation, they're the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit. Now, as they come to the city walls, they got to use battering rams to get through the walls. They have to have slings to let the people in the city know they're coming. And so the battering rams and the slings are the books of Holy Scripture. All the things of the Word of God are used as breaking down the walls of man's soul and coming inside of it. The Holy Scripture, things that are mighty through God, Paul says, for the pulling down of strongholds. And man's soul now is surrounded. The whole person is being addressed by Emmanuel. And you can summarize it this way: I will overcome and I will win. But he puts under this call, be reconciled to God. Surrender to God. Enter into his offer of reconciliation to you. Be reconciled to God. And Emmanuel has placed on the mountains around man's soul a white flag. This is mercy to those who surrender. A red flag, justice to those who resist. And a black flag, a lightning bolt that says if there's continued resistance, there will be execution. Never forget that. Diabolos responds. He comes to Mouth Gate. And he confesses, interestingly, you believe there's one God. You do well. The demons also believe, and they tremble. Diabolos knows that Emmanuel is Lord and God. But, he says, I have conquered man's soul. And man's soul wants to serve me. I am the God of this world. And then Emmanuel counters to Diabolos. You took man's soul by craft, by cunning, by lies, by hypocrisy, and by horrible deception. You have tried to erase my name from every corner of man's soul. And man's soul is mine. Why? He's mine because with my Father, I created it. It's mine because man's soul is my inheritance for my work and my death. Man's soul is mine because my Father gave man's soul to me as a donation. Man's soul is mine because I purchased it with the infinite price of my own blood. Man's soul is mine because I made full satisfaction for man's soul's sin. And man's soul is mine because of the command of my Father, Shaddai, who, whether you recognize it or not, is your God and the God of the universe. These things that Emmanuel speaks are the things of the gospel. Now, there's warning in the gospel. The very call to repent and believe the gospel includes in it warning if you don't repent. But there's also winning, warning and winning in the gospel. See, the axe is laid at the root of man's soul, but it's not yet to the root of man's soul. Now, Diabolos offers, and if last night's most important phrase was "but God," this next word is probably the most important for this session. Because this word describes the way all skids into eventual unbelief begin. Diabolos offers a compromise. A compromise. And that, notice again Bunyan's language, that compromise, well, if it comes from Diabolos himself, people would suspect something. But Diabolos sends another one of his many emissaries, Mr. Hates to Stoop. As Emmanuel has come to the city, Mr. Hates to Stoop represents Diabolos, who offers a compromise. And pay attention to the ways in which this compromise are presented. From Diabolos through Mr. Hates to Stoop, I'll give up half the soul of man's soul. Man's soul can profess to know you as Emmanuel and Savior and Shaddai as your father, so long as in their works they can deny him. What we would call practical atheism. I'll give up half the soul of man's soul to you. To which Emmanuel responds, no. All is mine. And I will have it. And so Diabolos, through Mr. Hates to Stoop, gives a second compromise. Emmanuel, you can be the nominal ruler. I have no problem. Even if the citizens of man's soul call you Lord, 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 so long as they don't do the things you tell them to do. To which Emmanuel responds, no, I will be Lord. So a third compromise that Diabolos makes through Mr. Hates to Stoop. Well, give me a private dwelling in man's soul. To which Emmanuel responds by saying, no. Every place in man's soul is mine. Every house, every building, every street, every garden. Each one of the citizens and their children, they're mine and not yours, and there will be no compromise. To which Diabolos responds through Mr. Hates to Stoop, well, let me at least roam the streets once in a while. To which Emmanuel responds, I allow that, and you will bring the town back into bondage as quickly as you're able, because you're Diabolos and you're a destroyer. Diabolos thinks a bit more compromise. So he goes through Mr. Hates to Stoop to Emmanuel, and he says, well, let me at least do some business here in man's soul once in a while. To which Emmanuel responds by saying, you will poison its water and its food with your lies. That's not going to happen. The city of Mansoul, the town of Mansoul, is mine. Well, Diabolos says through Mr. Hates to Stoop, Let me send the townspeople letters, or we would say today, let me send them a few emails. No big deal if I text them once in a while, right? That's no problem at all. Or let me just give them a few messages on Facebook once in a while. To which Emmanuel responds, I allow that, and you will estrange my people from me. Diabolos thinks some more. Once again goes through Mr. Hates to stoop and says through him, well, let me leave some mementos of myself in Mansoul. Let me leave some souvenirs. Let me appear to the people once in a while on Instagram or TikTok or even through X. To which, knowing Emmanuel, wise Emmanuel responds, those would ignite former affections, and those would ravish the love of their former sins. Before I go any further, is this material relevant to today? Aren't these exactly the compromises that Christians will allow into their own lives, that families will allow into their own lives? And so finally, Diabolos says through Mr. Hates to Stoop, well, what about a few occasional visits to Mansoul? And Jesus responds to this compromise as a summation of all of them. You must be exterminated. The destroyer is to be destroyed and nothing less. And there will be no compromise. Diabolos is enraged. He is furious. He is white, hot, red with anger. And then the battle really begins. In that battle, Captain Conviction, on the side of Emmanuel, is very seriously wounded. Many more Diabolonians are wounded and even put to flight. Proud boasting in Mansoul is brought down, and the security of Mansoul, encased in its own sin and bondage to Satan, its own security, is now in severe conflict. And feelings are no longer the standard of their experience. Remember how Diabolos used feelings in seeking to bring about the downfall of Mansoul. You'll find pleasure. You'll find a very special joy. You'll learn things that you never, ever learned before from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And those feelings are no longer the standard of their experience. The battering rams and slings of mercy and grace come against the walls, but Mansoul, it isn't taken yet. There's some half measures that Mansoul takes, but Diabolos and his armies aren't cast out yet. There's some conviction of sin. There is some moral reformation. Some of the people get religion, and others begin to practice some good works, thinking, well, maybe now it's time to do some of those things. You know, you got to have an insurance policy. But they're still deceived. They're still under the spell of Satan, who is a liar and a slanderer and a murderer. And McGuire, commenting on this particular state, sums this up so well. As he speaks of the devil, listen to the insights into the devil's work. He can become a fair-spoken moralist and teacher. And if he can only induce the soul to rest upon its own works for salvation, well, he knows that soul is lost because it lacks the great salvation. Satan enters the heart as a seeming friend, but leaves it as a veritable foe. And now the troops are set in battle array for the final assault. Here, Emmanuel imposes one strict command that a distinction be made between the natives and the Diabolonians. With the old inhabitants, the original nature of man, his soldiers are to deal gently and not slay one. But to the Diabolonians' crew, no quarter is to be shown. There's to be no compromise, and there's to be no mercy. And the battle will continue in the next session. Let's pray. Our Lord, you tell us in Scripture not to be ignorant of the devil's tricks. Literally, the nearest word that we have to that is his mind games. And we hear in this section the mind games that Satan does is he calls for various forms of compromise. Our Lord, remind us that when we use that word Lord, it is pregnant with significance and power. And as we get a break, let us relax our minds a bit. And then as we come back, let us learn something of the beauty and the wonder of what it is when Emmanuel truly becomes Lord of man's soul and of our souls. Amen.